Oh, friends, I've got something free for you, something that is going to change your mind and maybe even your heart. My friends over at Dwell Differently have decided to give you an entire month free using my code Tony. Don't worry, I'll tell you all about it at the end, but let me tell you a little bit about Dwell. Dwell has this incredible mission to help all of us fix God's words in our hearts and our minds. It's a monthly membership style of scripture designs to help you and even your little kiddos memorize one Bible verse every single month. And the founders, Vera and Natalie, have come out with a brand new book called Dwell Differently, Overcome Negative Thinking with the Simple Practice of Memorizing God's Truth. Y'all, this book is amazing. And God's words aren't just a self-help strategy, fam. I mean, these are truth bombs that help you make it through some real dark seasons. And y'all know I can attest to it. So check everything out at dwelldifferently.com. You'll be real amazed and shocked at how God can use just one Bible verse to change everything in your life. And use the code Tony for your first month free. Love y'all. Hey fam, welcome to the Still Coloring Podcast with Tony Collier. I am your host, Tony Collier, and each series we lean into the stories of women and men that uncover their brokenness and practically show us all how they've rebuilt their lives with hope and grit. Come on, if you're listening to this right now, I want you to close your eyes, take a deep breath, and say this: I can live a life of hope and grit. Let's lean in. Hi, friends. It's Tony, and I'm so excited that you have decided to listen to this new podcast season. It is deep, it's vulnerable, it's honest, it is my most vulnerable podcast season that I probably will ever have, because after this, we'll start interviewing guests again. So I'm just grateful that you're here. I'm grateful that you're leaning in to the hard, ugly, messy, ratchet, okay, parts of my life in hopes that you would get inspired and that you would see God in the ratchet, messy, dark moments of your life. And if you have not listened to the trailer or the first episode, this podcast season is called God Winks, Moxie, and Rescue. One of the things that I wanted to talk about really early on in the season is how well my community has showed up for me and helped me discover things about me that I just did not know were true about me. Things like how deeply insecure I was with having a man and being married, and how my marriage was connected to my identity and purpose, and it just should not have been. And the community has taught me that. And so I want to tell you a quick little story. If you haven't been here, what I've been doing is I got this cutie little note in my iPhone called Kindness of God. And it's literally all of these moments where God has just come through. And when I looked back through all of these moments, one of the things that was super consistent was how my community showed up. My friend Ann Voskamp says that, you know, we get to be Jesus with skin on. When we say yes to Jesus, we accept him, and that is awesome. However, on the other side of our yes to Jesus, on the other side of our salvation, is sanctification. It's becoming more like Jesus. It's treating people like Jesus would. It is being Jesus for other people in our lives, and my people have been Jesus for me. And so I want to take you through a couple of stories where people have deeply shown up for me. And here's the hope for this episode: that you would understand that we cannot heal alone. If there is nothing that you get from this episode, if you're just like, I don't know what Tony talking about over there, I deeply desire for you to hear this. Do not heal alone. Hiding is the kryptonite to healing. The enemy wants nothing more than for you to stay isolated in your healing journey. He wants you to hide. He wants shame to come after you. He wants you to believe that people won't love you if you say certain things. And here's the truth. There's some people that won't, but there's a whole bunch of God-fearing, Holy Spirit-filled people that will come for you like Jesus comes for you. And those are the people that we have to get real good at bringing in. Okay? So who's ready for some stories? All right. Here's the first story. September 19th, I was in Nashville, Tennessee, and I got a call and a FaceTime that changed my life forever. And after I got this devastating call and knew and understood that I was going to have to leave my marriage, I called two friends. Those two friends are Jamie Ivey and Jessica Honegger. They are a part of my confessional community. It's a group of seven of us that meet every single month for 3 hours, and we genuinely confess all of our sins. We genuinely confess the things that we're grieving, the things that we're longing for. Like, we go deep. Like, it ain't no game over here. And what that does for us is that it really holds us accountable to not only our salvation, but also our sanctification, being more like Jesus. And I called them and I said, it's an emergency and I need you. And I told them everything. And for the first time in our confessional community lifetime was the first time that I told them everything. Here's why that's important for you to know. I was filming, the reason why we were together in this hotel is because I was filming a show for a major network, Christian network, in Nashville. And they both live in Texas, in Austin, Texas. We would not have been together. But I want you to lean into this and see how intimate and intricate and individual our God is. The two women who I have been walking with the deepest came for me because they were just down the hallway. God saw fit that they would be on the same show that I was on, so that the next day, the day after we filmed, they would still be there. They didn't catch an early flight. They were still down the hallway so that they could come for me in one of the hardest moments of my entire life. That, my friends, is what we have to all call a God wink. It is when there is no coincidence. It doesn't make any type of earthly sense that this would happen. And it is because God is coming for you. He is the master chess player. He is the one that has lined everything up in our lives. And here's the deal. He's a good God and he hates sin and evil. I know that for many of us, we have thought, oh man, like, I don't understand why bad things happen to good people and how could God allow this to happen? But listen to me, God's original design was Eden. It was goodness. When we look at Genesis, we can see Genesis 1, how God created the world, and Genesis 2 and 3, how man straight up ruined that mug. Okay, shout out to Eve though, sweet girl. I was just like, she was hungry. I don't know what happened, but Jesus. I do know what happened. We read the story, but like at the end of the day, like there was a creation that was good in 1 and 2. And then in 3, there's the fall and evil entered into this world and it came for us. It attacked our souls. It attacked the very crevices of who we are. So God doesn't like it. He wants us to live in union with him, in perfect union with him. But until we get there, there's going to be sin and sorrow, sin and great suffering. And there will always be a God on the other side saying, don't you worry. I did not cause this mess. Evil did. But I'm still coming for you, daughter. I'm still going to rescue you, son. I'm going to pick you back up again. And I am going to make this good. Because I work all things out for the good of those who love the Lord. So back to community. My girls came for me. That was crazy. All right, here's the other thing. All right, so I put in my notes, being in Nashville with Jessica, Lisa Whittle was also there, and Jamie Ivey, the day I found out, I put this in my kindness of God note in my iPhone. I said, there was a God wink of being able to cry in my friend Jamie's arms. When I was crying in Jamie's arms in the hallway of the hotel, I looked up at her in all of my innocence and my fragility. And I said, I have to leave this marriage, right? Like, I have to, right? And she looked at me and I could tell that she was just heartbroken for me. And we've shared pain. And in that moment, she said, I really think that you should. But I think you need to pray about it. And I think you need to talk to your counselor about it. Here's what another thing that community does, why it's important not to heal alone. because you need godly people that's going to point you not only to resources like counseling, but also the source. Jamie didn't know the context of everything that I walked through, so she was not sure what I should or shouldn't do. But you know what's crazy? Right after that moment, about an hour later, I had a counseling session already set up. And so, another God wink, because he comes for us. All right, here's a couple of other stories of community. So my dad was super supportive in this season. That's important because my last divorce was very difficult because my dad was so angry and he didn't know how to hold my grief. God has since redeemed our relationship. And so now that I'm walking through this again, my dad is way more available and has way more emotional understanding, intelligence, and capacity to help walk me through this now. I remember moments where my daddy just let me be on the phone with him weeping. And I just remember him saying, "It's okay. It's okay." So that was super sweet. Also, another thing that's super fun about my life and a God wink is that I have an au pair. Now, for those of you that like, I don't know what you just said at all. I'm not sure what you just called me. An au pair is a nanny that comes to live with you, typically from a different country. And they go to school, they work and help with their kid, with your kids. And because of my lifestyle with travel and my schedules being all over the place, I really needed to have an au pair. And we have an incredible one named Ana Julia. And she loves my kids like I do. And she loves and cares for me. And it's interesting because at the beginning of our relationship, when she first came, it was very much so like a straightforward, you're my boss. It is what it is. Like, you know, it's a brand new person living in your home. It's, you know, weird. Okay. And what I loved about this moment is that I remember I got us a new house, me and Ana and our two kids. And I remember us going into the house and me showing her for the first time and telling her everything that happened and that I was sorry. And she looks up at me and she says, "Tony, I will help you. I am going to be there for you." And y'all, I can't even imagine my life as a single mom right now without her help. I would not be able to work. I would not be doing this podcast right now. And our relationship has truly flourished. And so sometimes, for those of you out there, sometimes community in the healing space doesn't even look like your best friend, but could look like a coworker or a mentee or someone that you go to school with. And so lean into those relationships. I mean, my vulnerability and honesty with her about what was going on in my life and in this season really opened the door for us to become like real besties, okay? We have had a Christmas Eve party that we hosted at my house. We have done a Galentine's dinner with our girls. We go to the same gym. I mean, it has truly opened up a beautiful relationship with her and between us. And it's all because I was willing to be honest with her about how broken and fragile my life was. Okay, here's a really fun one. Okay, I think this is really cool. So 2 weeks to the day that I found out that everything happened, I woke up feeling terrible. Y'all, I can't even like explain to y'all how I was not sleeping. I was not eating. If you're listening, you can't see this, but my head is big. Okay. I got a big head. I got a big forehead. And when my body gets small, my head doesn't get small. Okay. It doesn't get any tinier. And so I look like a little lollipop bopping around, just a little lollipop bopping around. I look like a skinny Teletubby out here. Okay. And I wasn't eating. I wasn't sleeping. And I was nauseous all the time. And it just was horrible. Well, I woke up feeling terrible, and the Lord led me to Psalm 28. Now, I've been reading out of my my journal because I want to make sure that I bring you guys in. Okay, here it is. All right, so it's two-part. I'm grateful that I have counseling scheduled today. I'm grateful that I have friends that are fighting for me. I'm grateful that I get to wake up to Sammy. And then I felt the Lord lead me to Psalm 28. And here are the notes that I wrote. God, you are my rock. You do not drag me away with the wicked. You will repay them for what their hands have done. The Lord is my strength and shield. Be my shepherd and carry me forever. Okay, you guys ready for the God wink? So I read Psalm 28, I write this in my journal and I'm like, great, I got it. It's all good to go. Shortly afterwards, my friend Melissa Russell, who I love so very much, she's a fierce leader. She goes, hey, Tony, this is literally the verse of the day from dailyverses.net because I had texted our confessional community group that this morning I was feeling super terrible, but the Lord led me to Psalm 28 and I just loved it. And then Melissa responds, this is literally the verse of the day from dailyverses.net. Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Psalm 28. Psalm 28. Got that? Got that the Lord led me to Psalm 28, and her verse of the day was Psalm 28. Those are the little ways that God comes for you. And I know that there's people out there right now that's like, yeah, but really though? Like, is he really coming for me? And here's what I want to say to that. I think that God winks show up when you're desperate to see them. The Lord wants to show us his miraculous power, all the intricate details of what he's doing, and not everything, because God has a mystery to him. And there are some things that we should not know about what God is doing or should not understand because we weak and fragile out here, okay? But there are other things like a scripture being spoken to you and not really knowing or understanding, like, is this the Lord? Like, am I tripping? Like, did he really lead me to Psalm 28 and him coming for you through a friend and being like, yeah, I actually was speaking to you, Tony. You are not deaf. You are not numb to my word or my voice. You can hear me clearly. So I thought that was pretty darn cool. Friends, listen, parenting in the digital age should not be this hard. Well, I've got some good news for you. It doesn't have to be. Over the last 6 months, I have been partnering with my friends over at Bark Technologies, and y'all, it has been amazing. Bark has been able to scan my daughter's text messages, 30 plus social media apps, emails. I mean, they have this advanced AI technology that scans text and gives me a personalized report of everything that my daughter is doing on her devices. Y'all, it's been amazing. But not only that, you can manage screen time, block websites and apps, you can track locations. It's not even about micromanaging our kids. It's about giving them the resources they need to not be exposed to things that they are just too young to be exposed to. And so friends, listen, death to lazy parenting. We have to get good at investing in the safety of our children. So head to the show notes below and check out Bark Technologies as we all become parents who get serious about protecting our kids. Here we go. Okay, here's another really fun story. I was originally going to stay in my house. I wanted to stay in my house. I did not want to uproot my kids. I didn't want them to have to go through so much change. Unfortunately, it was not the best place for us to be. It was toxic. It just wasn't a safe place for us. And so I ended up having to move and I had no idea what I was going to do. One of my friends is in the real estate business and I was like, I need your help. What do I do? She sends me a website with a list of homes. And I was like, okay, awesome. Well, I knew I was super fragile and tender. It was only a month afterwards. And I called my friend Belinda and I was like, hey, can you come with me to see these houses? Like, I just don't know what to expect. And it was in her city. We go to this house, the first house. It's a Friday. We go to this house. We roll up on it and it's so cute. It's like nestled in nature. It's up on a hill and we go in and we're just so excited. The master bedroom is freshly redone, fresh new wood. The bathroom is stunning. It has one of those like standalone tubs that's like a big oval, you know, which I've never had that before. Big chandelier in the bathroom. I mean, so beautiful. The best size, the cutest backyard. The backyard in this house is like most of it is covered by trees. I mean, it is stunning. And I turned to my friend. I was like, this is the one. Like, this is the house. So I reached out to the real estate agent that was in charge of the house. I filled out the application. She gets back to me that night. She was like, your credit is great. You're approved for it. I actually meet with the landlords tomorrow, which is so surprising. Like, they're just getting back from their honeymoon. Like, we just randomly decided to have this meeting. And now you're seeing the house and it's crazy. I'm like, oh, it's not crazy, girl. And I literally felt like a God wink brewing. I knew it. I said, he's coming. He is coming for me. Saturday comes and I'm waiting all day on the call from her. I'm like, oh my gosh, how'd the meeting go? How'd the meeting go? Well, at about 12 o'clock, I get an email and it's the lease to the house. But I didn't get a call from her yet. So I'm like, what is happening? She calls me an hour later at 1 p.m. and she goes, hey, I was in the meeting with the landlords, husband and wife, and they just are so compelled by your story. They just got married, just got back from their honeymoon. The wife was a single mom for 7 years, and she just felt so compelled to give you the house. And when I tell you, I wept. Dylan was actually with me, and I was trying my best to hold my tears back because Dylan was with me. And there is the lease. And not only that, but she tells me, the real estate agent tells me, she's like, this house actually has been on the market for like 30 days. It should have gone really quickly, but it hasn't. Like, one person came to see it and they never followed up. And I just was like, well, I think it's because God had this house for me and my babies. Like, it was him. And they actually had the house listed at a rate that was $300 more, and they dropped it so that people would start coming in to see it. And lo and behold, we are now living in that house. And here's the community aspect. When I moved, I knew that I was going to have to take some time off stage. I knew that I would have to stop preaching for a little while. I knew I needed some capacity to heal. Well, my only source of income is preaching, is going on the road. And so I knew that I had to be very mindful of what I spent. So furniture, I mean, I didn't know. And I didn't know how to do it. And my friends came together and we built this Amazon wish list of all these things. And it wasn't like, I would like a vase. I want a cute little fancy little plant. No, no, no. It was like, we need beds. Like, we need beds. We need a couch. We need a rug. We need a TV. Like, we need like the bare minimum. And, oh, this gets me. I really wanted a beautiful house, which sounds really vain, right? Like, I had a beautiful house. I had intentionally furnished my home because I thought I would be in it forever. I painted my son's room. My best friend painted my son's room. Let me not get to lie in here because I can't paint. My best friend Ashley painted my son's room. We like hung up the cute little like chandeliers that I had to leave because we just didn't have enough time to get it. Like, I really wanted a beautiful home. And I remember telling this to my counselor, like, oh, I just kind of don't want hand-me-downs. Don't judge me, y'all. Okay. I was just like, I'm so mad that like this is taken from me as well. Like, this is just, it's not fair. And I remember my counselor saying, Tony, do you want to exhaust all of your financial resources making a beautiful home look aesthetically pleasing? Or do you want to look back at this moment? Do you want to walk into your living room and look around? And realize that your people filled your home with love. And I said, I want that. And so my friends got together and they bought my daughter's bed. They bought her comforter and sheets and pillows. They bought her a rug. And then they came over and put it together. My confessional community bought the bed that I sleep on. My friend Jen gave me the mattress that I sleep on, this brand new mattress that she just randomly had in storage that I actually almost died trying to get out. My confessional community got me the most beautiful rug that's in my room. And Lindsay, my friend from my confessional community, got me this rug for my living room after my living room flooded because the enemy is ratchet. But she replaced the rug that my friend Crystal had gotten. She got the same one. I'm like, here's the truth. When I look at my house, when I sit on our couch, when I cuddle with my kids in my bed, I look around and I'm reminded that we should not heal alone. It's not the divorce or the betrayal or the abandonment or the pain that will take you out. It's trying to hold it all alone. When I think about this journey, I've been the most vulnerable and the most open with my people than I've ever been. And you would think that, like, I would be embarrassed or ashamed. But they didn't hold anything against me. They did not make me feel ashamed. They furnished my home and they got my daughter a panda comforter and panda curtains and sheets. And I mean, it is a panda explosion in her room. And I'm telling you, man, people that love Jesus with all of their hearts will love you with all of their heart. We can't do this alone. We cannot do this life alone. We weren't, and I know we hear it all the time, right? Like, we weren't made to be alone. God didn't make us to be alone. Like, I know it's cliche and I know it. And listen, I know that people have hurt you because they've hurt me too. I know that. And I'm telling you, trust again. Befriend again. It's worth it. It is worth it. Okay. Here's the last thing. The last thing that community has done for me in this treacherous season is that they've reminded me of my purpose. I don't think there were any days that I thought that the Lord wouldn't still use me. But I remember getting back up on stage again, and I ended up being on one of the biggest stages of my life a couple of weeks or a couple of months ago. And I was so nervous. I was like, oh my goodness. Like, this is crazy. Are people going to be talking about me? It was crazy. I'm not a nervous person. I don't usually get nervous at all. I'm like, let's do it. Bop, bop, bop. I'm confident. But I was so nervous that people would be judging me or I would hurt the organization that added, put me back on stage, like all these different things. And long story short, before I get on stage, maybe about 30 minutes, two of the women from my confessional community, Melissa and Anne, come into the green room and I just tell them I'm freaking out. I don't know what to, I'm just freaking out. And I'm sitting there on the couch, getting ready to go on the biggest stage of my life. And Melissa is rubbing my shoulders and Anne is just saying, take a deep breath, Tony. Now breathe out. Take a deep breath, Tony. Now breathe out. And Melissa goes, how about we verbally process? What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? And I think in that moment, I realized that I just wasn't sure if I was good enough anymore. From the girl that says broken crayons still color, right? But what you need to know is that the enemy he doesn't have any new tricks. The thing that hindered you before will come back again. I'm too broken. I can't be used by God. That's the soundtrack of the enemy in my ears, in my head, and in my heart. And through these two friends that love me deeply and know every crevice of my life, they were like the physical representation of Jesus saying, I made you for this. I created you for this. Go get them, Tony. And I got on that stage and I think I had a stroke. I dang near blacked out. I don't remember anything I said, but I get off and my daughter and my mom are there and they're cheering and people are just like, that you set so many women free. You set so many women free with what you said. And I think for anyone that saw that moment and know what I'm talking about, I need you to know that it was not me, that it was 110% the power and strength of God. That's why I'm doing this season, because I need you to know that the same God that gave me the strength to get on stage and process through a panic attack and say words that I don't even remember that I said is the same God that still has purpose infused on the inside of you. It is not me that even has the strength to do this podcast. It's not. It is him. We are all struggling out here. He does not play any favorites. It's not us. It is God. And the moment that you understand that leaders, people you admire, people with platforms, influencers are just broken, fragile, imperfect human beings, and they don't have any more or less than you because they're any more or less loved. The moment that you realize that we are all doing the best that we can and that there's a real big God and there's just little small us, I think that's when God gets bigger to you. Because then you realize it's not Tony. It's not. She's been relying on her people and her Savior. That's how she's still standing. That's what gets her up every day, because she knows that she has people and a Savior coming for her. And that's what's going to get you up every day, because you have people and a Savior who's coming for you, who won't leave you behind. And if you don't have that yet, if you don't have a Savior and you're listening to this, shoot, let's do a salvation call right now. If you're listening, if you're watching, why not? Why not know that you have eternity waiting for you? So let's do the salvation prayer right now. Shoot, like, why not, right? If you're not saved, if you haven't professed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just repeat after me. I believe that Jesus came for me, that he died on a cross, and he died like actual death. And 3 days later, he rose again to claim victory over my life. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of my God. And he has sent the Holy Spirit to be with me. I profess that he is my Savior. And I don't want to do another day on this earth without him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, I just want to thank you so much for listening to the Still Coloring Podcast with Tony Collier. I am so absolutely grateful to hold the stories of brokenness that we get to share with you, and the honor that it is to point you to both resources and ultimately to our source, Jesus Christ. If you can't get enough of the show, we'd love for you to leave a rating and or a review wherever you listen to podcasts and spread the word. If you've got someone in your life who you think would benefit from this show, don't keep it from them. And if Instagram is your thing, I want you to meet me there at Tony J. Collier. I'm a little wild, so buckle up. We'll see you next time as we all lean into the stories that help us claim hope and grit over our own lives. See you soon.